Let's open our Bibles together to Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2. And we'll begin our reading in verse number 1. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, every one into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem, and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste, and found Mary and Joseph, and the babe lying in a manger. When they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, as it was told unto them. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for allowing us to meet together on this Christmas Eve. We thank you for the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ and all that affected in our lives and even in this world, Lord, truly tonight and tomorrow many will celebrate and have very special times, many not even acknowledging you. And yet, Lord, if it was not for the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ, what we enjoy this evening and tomorrow would not be. And yet beyond these blessings, Lord, your entrance into this world provided us with eternal salvation, the gift of forgiveness, eternal life, a home with you forever. We thank you, Lord, for humbling yourself to come to this earth, to be born, and that you might grow up to die on that cross for our sins. We thank you for the opportunity that we have on this evening to set aside this short time, Lord, to spend some time in your word and to just meditate on the Christmas story and some of the lessons that we can learn from it. I pray you'd bless each one for coming tonight. Thank you that they've chosen to acknowledge you in this special way in the midst of their celebrating and family times and whatever else may be going on in their lives. I pray you'd bless them for it. I pray you'd speak to our hearts through your word tonight. May you be honored. I pray that your spirit would work in each and every heart. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. On Sunday evening, Brother Tracy and I were discussing actually tonight's service, and I assured him, yes, of course, we're going to be considering the Christmas story. And he just mentioned, you know, how that, no matter how many times you hear it over and over again, it's just a beautiful story. And truly, even just the reading of the Christmas story is beautiful in and of itself, and it doesn't need any embellishing. And so we're not going to do that tonight. We're not going to embellish the Christmas story and give our spin on things. And yet, when you consider the Christmas story, there's much instruction and there's much wisdom, much learning that can be gained just by considering some of the lessons that are contained in that story. And so this evening, for this Christmas Eve message, we're going to do this, just that. We're going to consider five lessons learned from the Christmas story, the characters that we see in our text tonight. and how that would apply to us. So let's get right into the message. Note with me, first of all, this lesson that we learn in the Christmas story, the Lord directs those who live in submission to His authority. The Lord directs those who live in submission to His authority. This is seen in the first part of our text, verses 1 through 5 primarily. But there we see that though it was no comfortable or convenient task, Joseph and Mary submitted themselves to this taxing census. It was a census for the primary purpose of taxing the people. These people, Joseph and Mary, they travel from Nazareth all the way to Bethlehem, a distance of about 75 miles uphill. She's great with child. This was not comfortable. It was not convenient. And yet they rendered unto Caesar the things which were Caesar's. They submitted themselves unto God's authority as unto the Lord Himself. Well, as they obeyed, as they submitted to this God-ordained authority, which this authority was not a godly person, but God placed them there. But as Mary and Joseph obeyed, they submitted to this authority. God directed them to the very place where the Messiah was prophesied to be born. I mean, if you'd asked them, you know, months earlier or sometime before this decree was sent out, what is the likelihood that you're going to be in Bethlehem in the next 3 months or whatever? And they're saying, no, we're not going anywhere right now. We're, you know, this child's coming. And yet all this change takes place. And yes, Micah chapter 5 and verse 2 prophesied hundreds of years earlier that the Messiah would be born in that little humble town of Bethlehem in Judea. So God directed Joseph and Mary because they were living in submission to the authority that God had placed over them. And today God wants us to live in submission to the authorities He places over us, and especially to God's direct authority, submitting ourselves to Him. As we do this, we can be assured of God's leading, and we can be assured that God's will be accomplished in our lives. Many times we want God to direct our steps, but one of the key factors in that is our being willing to submit to the authorities He places in our lives. Psalm 37:4 says, "Delight thyself also in the Lord, and He shall give thee the desires of thine heart." Verse 23, "The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in His way." In those two verses, there are a few words that are in a parallel in both verses, but one key word is the word delight. The word delight literally means to be moldable. It means to be soft and moldable, to be pliable even. And the fact is, a moldable man is a movable man, a man who is able to be easily directed in the will of God, living a submissive life where we don't harden ourselves against God or His authority. We remain yielded to Him, and as we delight ourselves in that way, He'll direct our steps. The second lesson that we learn is this: the Lord comes to those who make room for Him. And this is seen in verses 6 and 7. Really, in verses 6 and 7, you see the contrast to this. We know the story of the innkeeper. You know, Mary and Joseph come, she's great with child, but there's no room for them in the inn. So she gives birth to this child in a stable. He's laid in a manger, which was a feeding trough. And folks often criticize the innkeeper, but we need to be careful that we're not too hard on him. He, well, as the Lord might say, he knew not what he did. You know, he didn't know what he was doing. And yet there's an illustration in verses 6 and 7 of how the Lord Jesus Christ often gets crowded out of our lives. He is King. He is Lord. And when the King and when the Lord gets shuffled down in our priority list, that's a problem. That's a problem with us. And so, in effect, the Lord here, they didn't have room for Him. They didn't have room for Joseph and Mary. We need to be careful that we don't allow other things to crowd the Lord out of our lives. We need to learn the fine art of saying no, which is sometimes not easy to do. Sometimes we have to learn to say no. Sometimes we have to learn to let go of things so that we can make room for the Lord in our lives. In Luke chapter 10, verses 38 through 42, we have a good example a good lesson for us. There it says in verse 38, a certain woman named Martha received Jesus into her house. Now, unlike the innkeeper, she had room for Jesus in her house. But unfortunately, Martha was so cumbered with serving, she didn't have room for Jesus in her heart. Lord, you're welcome in our home, but excuse me, I've got so much else to do, I really don't have time for you. You know, she's busy doing all these other things. Mary, on the other hand, took time to sit at Jesus' feet. When Martha gets cumbered, she gets frustrated, she becomes critical of her sister. You know, why am I doing all this? She's doing nothing but sitting at your feet, listening to your word, and the Lord basically rebukes her and he says, Martha, Martha, hold on here. You know, you're careful and you're troubled about all these things, but one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part, and it's not going to be taken away from her. Again, Martha received Jesus into her home, but she didn't at that point receive him into her heart. Mary chose the good part. What was the good part? Well, the good part is not the ministry. The good part is the master. Someone said we need to have a Mary heart in a Martha world. We need to be careful, again, that we make room for Jesus, not just in our homes, but in our hearts. Revelation chapter 3 and verse 20, Jesus said, Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him and he with me. Today, Jesus is not looking to enter an inn, but he is looking to enter our hearts. Those words are written to believers, by the way, to a church. And he's saying, knock, knock, church, let me in. If you hear my voice, open the door and I'll come in and we can fellowship. I'll sup with you and you can sup with me. You let me in and I'll take full possession of the home. I'll invite you. I'll host you in your own home. He wants that fellowship. He wants to have free reign in our lives and in our hearts. Helen Keller, some of you, probably many of you have heard that name. She was born both blind and deaf. And a very difficult situation, especially at that time, you know, that type of situation was very rare, and they really struggled with figuring out how to communicate with her. Their special teacher, they were able to establish communication with Helen Keller. Somewhere along the line, a famous preacher by the name of Phillips Brooks came and communicated with her and was able to lead her to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And Helen Keller's remarkable response to Jesus was this, Oh, that's his name. I always knew he was there, but I didn't know his name. It was as if the Lord was always there, and she, well, at that point, as Philip Brooks leads her to faith in the Lord, she knows Jesus' name. She invites him into her heart and into her life. Tonight, we sang for our second hymn a song, a Christmas carol that was written by the preacher who led Helen Keller to faith in the Lord, Phillips Brooks. Wrote the song, O Little Town of Bethlehem. And it is believed that it was in light of his experiencing Helen Keller's marvelous conversion that he penned the third verse in that song. And here's what it says. How silently the wondrous gift is given. So God imparts to human hearts the blessing of his heaven. No ear may hear his coming, but in this world of sin, where meek souls will receive him still, the dear Christ enters in. And she could not see Jesus. She did not hear with her ears, and yet the Lord entered into her life. Why? Because she had room for Jesus. He was there all along. She didn't know his name. Finally, she knows his name, and she invites him in. What about us? Is there room for Jesus in our lives? Have you any room for Jesus, he who bore your load of sin? As he knocks and asks admission, sinner, will you let him in? Room for pleasure, room for business, but for Christ the crucified, not a place that he can enter in the heart for which he died? Room for Jesus, King of glory. Hasten now his word obey. Swing the heart's door widely open. Bid him enter while you may. And certainly that challenge is written in light of someone who's never accepted the Lord Jesus Christ. I presume that you have done that. If you've never done it, you ought to do it tonight. Just invite the Lord in. But as a Christian, we need to make sure that we learn this lesson from the Christmas story, that the Lord comes to those who make room for him. And we need to make room for him in our hearts and lives. Thirdly, there's this lesson in the Christmas story. The Lord speaks to those who are ready to hear and respond to his voice. And this is seen in verses 8 through 16. It's the testimony of these shepherds. These shepherds were not men of prestige. Being a shepherd was not a vocation, you know, that was on the high list as far as social status was concerned. But these shepherds, unlike most of the religious and political crowd in Israel, were ready to hear and respond to the message of Jesus' birth. Why was the first Noel, the first Christmas greeting, the first announcement of Jesus' birth given to shepherds, not to Herod, not to the scribes and Pharisees, not to Nicodemus or all these other people? Why did he choose shepherds? Well, there are probably many reasons for that. But one reason is this, is that the Lord speaks to those who are ready to hear and ready to respond to his voice. Someone said, well, God doesn't speak to me. Are you ready to hear? Are you ready to obey? Sometimes we choke the channel of God speaking to us because we get to the point where we say, Lord, I'm not going to obey. And when we're not willing to obey, God's voice will cease speaking to us. We need to be ready to hear the word of God. We need to follow that advice that Eli gave to little Samuel. He said, go, lie down, and it shall be if he call thee that thou shalt say, speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. That ought to be our attitude. Mark 4:23, Jesus said, if any man have ears to hear, let him hear. Someone said, we have two ears and one mouth for a reason. We ought to be ready to hear, swift to hear, ready to receive with meekness the engrafted word. Church at Berea, actually, they weren't Christians at that time, but it led to their conversion. Acts 17:11, they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures daily. Like these shepherds, we need to be ready to hear God's word. And certainly when this angel came upon them in the middle of the night, he had their full attention. You know, maybe they were dozing off on their watch that night, but I'll guarantee you they weren't when that angel showed up. They were absolutely ready to hear. We ought to be that alert to the voice of God. But also like these shepherds who immediately, in the middle of the night, under cover of darkness, went to see this newborn Savior. This Savior of the world, Christ the Lord. They hear of his birth and they say, hey, let's go now. Not tomorrow. Let's go now even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass. And we ought to be that responsive to God's word. James said, be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath, receive with meekness the engrafted word. That's where it begins. But he also said this, but be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. We must be swift to hear and swift to obey, or else we can lead a self-deceived life. And this is a danger for us as Bible-believing Christians, because for the most part, we're very good at hearing. I mean, probably most people here tonight, you read the scriptures daily. I would assume that's the case. You may even listen to Christian radio. You listen to preaching and teaching. You listen to Christian music. You read devotionals, all these different things. And that is wonderful. We must be doing that. But we've got to take it a step further. We must put it into practice. And we don't want to get to the place where our knowledge exceeds our obedience, where we know more that we should be doing and know more about the Lord than we're putting into practice. Again, Jesus said, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice, that's where it begins. We're not going to do anything until we first hear his voice. But he says, and open the door. I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me. We've got to hear his voice, but we've got to obey his voice and open the door if we want to have fellowship. Again, these shepherds teach us an additional principle that we ought to be faithful to our duties. These men were shepherds. They're keeping watch over their flock by night. They did not, they didn't take days off as shepherds, as far as I know. That really didn't exist for them, but they didn't go to work that day, if we could put it in those terms, thinking, okay, I'm going to work today because I know that an angel's going to appear tonight. All they knew was, these sheep, God, this is the responsibility I have. I'm going to care for these sheep. And in the process of just being faithful, being where they were supposed to be, doing what they're supposed to be doing, God speaks to them. And certainly they were glad they didn't call in sick on that night. But it may be in the faithful discharge of our daily duties that God will come and speak to us. Again, when this birth announcement was given, it was not given to the worshipers at the temple, even. Now, we'll see later on, just in a few days, some people at the temple would learn of Jesus' birth and get to see him. But the first announcement was made to some fellows that were at work, just keeping their sheep, just being faithful. And don't pass up those opportunities, by the way. Be listening for God's voice everywhere you are. I'm thankful that God can speak to us in other places outside of a church building. Okay, this is a special place. I believe the Lord makes some specific promises that apply to our assembling together in His name. Again, the book of Revelation tells us that Jesus walks in the midst of the churches, and yet He speaks to us even as we're at work. So we want to be faithful, being where we're supposed to be, and we may meet with some very providential meetings of God. I can remember times even as a teenager and younger, growing up working with my dad in his auto shop, and especially during the winter months, we're building race cars, so we're out there till 11, 12, 1, 2, 3 o'clock in the morning working through the winter building race cars and things. But what we did do is that we'd have the radio on, listen to preaching, and especially after my dad came back to the Lord and I'd gotten saved. And there were some special times even just hearing from the Lord in the midst of work. Be faithful as you are. God will speak to you. Proverbs 20 and verse 6 says, most men will proclaim every one his own goodness, but a faithful man who can find? It's required in stewards that a man be found faithful. These shepherds were faithful. God spoke to them as they were where they were supposed to be, but because they were ready to hear. Beyond that, they were ready to obey. And the Lord, again, just another principle without trying to belabor the point too much. These were some active men. These were not couch potatoes. And the Lord said, I'm going to give these men the message because they're going to do something with it. It's like, oh, that's great. I'm taking a nap after the... No, they get the message and they do something with it. We ought to do something with what God gives to us. We'll see more of that later. All right, fourthly, the Lord uses those who will speak for Him. Verse 17, and when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. So having seen the Lord Jesus, these shepherds go out and they tell others what they've seen and heard about this newborn Savior. Hey, have you heard about the Savior? The Savior's been born. This is good news for all people. This is the way of peace. Peace with God. They meet the Savior. They go out and tell others about Him. As you look ahead in this chapter, verses 36 through 38, you find another person who does the same. This is Anna. Anna, the Bible tells us, speaks to everyone that she meets about the Lord Jesus. Speaks to everyone. The fact is, when we study the Christmas story, most everyone who met Jesus and had their lives changed by faith in Him, not only in the Christmas story, but later in His ministry, they always went away telling others about Him. Sometimes the Lord even gave them a command, like, don't tell anyone about this. And there were specific reasons for that. But even and disobeying the Lord's telling them not to, they go out and tell others. I mean, most of us don't have that problem. We have the problem with the Lord telling us and we still don't do it. He said, go ye unto all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. That's one of the lessons that we learn from the Christmas story. God uses those who will speak for him. Again, maybe that's one reason why he spoke to those shepherds, because he knows that message is not going to die with them. They're going to be channels of blessing. He's going to give it to them, and if he knows if he gives it to those boys, they're going to get it out to other people. And maybe we would find our cups overflowing and receiving more from the Lord if we were giving out more of the Word of God. And sometimes maybe we choke the channel in our lives, the channel of blessing, because we've become a reservoir rather than a channel and a funnel. Let's not do that. The Lord uses those who will speak for him. And finally, the Lord blesses those that keep his word in their hearts. Verse 18, and all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. From the time that Mary knew that she was going to give birth to the Messiah, her life and mind were turned upside down. You imagine just how her thinking and her whole world was turned upside down. She heard words that caused her to marvel. I mean, she's told, you're going to give birth to the Son of God, not by human instrumentality, but by the Holy Ghost. She hears that. I mean, people, you know, theologians still try to understand that doctrine. We still haven't figured it out. We believe it. She hears that. Now these shepherds come. She hears these things from the shepherds. And that just, the scriptures tell us that she marvels at these things. She ponders them in her heart. She didn't understand everything that she heard. But Mary had this virtue. She kept these things in her heart. We see it later on, verse 51. Jesus says in verse 49, how is it that you sought me? Wist ye not that I must be about my Father's business? And they understood not the saying which he spake unto them. And he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject unto them. But his mother kept all these sayings in her heart. Mary had a heart that kept the Word of God. And because of that, she was blessed. She didn't understand everything that she was hearing, but she still held on to it. She kept it in her heart. And as a result, Mary was blessed with an ever-growing understanding of the Lord Jesus Christ, an ever-growing understanding of the Word and will of God. We may not understand everything that we hear in a Sunday school lesson or in a sermon. We may not understand everything that God is doing in our lives, but that is not reason to just let it go in one ear and out the other. We ought to receive it in our ears, let it go into our hearts and stay there. And God will teach us. That's how we grow. That's how we are blessed. Luke 11, 27 and 28 says, a certain woman of the company lifted up her voice and said unto Jesus, blessed is the womb that bare thee and the paps which thou hast sucked. Well, that would apply to Mary, right? And in essence, they said, man, Mary was blessed because she gave birth to you. I mean, she nursed you as when you were a child. But Jesus said this, yea, rather, blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it. No one would argue that Mary wasn't blessed to give birth to the Messiah, but Jesus said there's a greater blessing. You want to know what the real blessing is? Those that hear the word of God and keep it in their hearts. The greatest blessing that Mary had was not holding the Christ in her arms, but hiding his word in her heart. Mary would not always be able to hold that child, but she would always be able to find comfort in his truth. That's where the blessing is. It's taking the word of God into our hearts, letting it dwell richly in us, and bring forth fruit. In the book A Christmas Carol, Charles Dickens told the story of Ebenezer Scrooge, the old miser. He didn't care for people. His primary pursuit in life was money. Well, over the course of this story, Mr. Scrooge is forced to take a look back over his life, to consider the future that he was headed for. And he undergoes a great change of heart. He commits himself to a new course of action in light of the things that he has learned. And Scrooge, near the end of the story, says this, quote, "I will honor Christmas in my heart and try to keep it all the year. I will live in the past, the present, and the future. The spirits of all three shall strive within me. I will not shut out the lessons that they teach." And like that man, may we keep the Lord Jesus Christ and the lessons His Word teaches us living in our hearts all the year long. Lord, thank You for allowing us to spend this time in Your Word tonight. We thank You, Lord, for coming to this earth, for again providing salvation, good news to the whole world. Thank You for being our Savior. And may we never get over that. Lord, if that is a reason for the angels to rejoice and praise You, then it's reason for us to praise You for the whole of our lives. We thank You for the opportunity that this holiday affords us, even to place special attention on that. We thank You for the wonderful times, the wonderful occasion that Your birth affords us even in these days. But Lord, I pray beyond these things that also You would help us to learn the principles of Your Word, the lessons that You taught us even in that beautiful story, the Christmas story of Your birth and the announcement of it. Pray that You would help us, Lord, to be those who hear Your Word and keep it. Help us to be not just hearers of the Word, but doers of it. Lord, help us to make room for You in our hearts, not allow You to be crowded out of our thoughts, out of our schedules, out of our affection. Please help us. Lord, help us this year as we conclude this year and look to begin another, that we would commit ourselves to telling others about the Lord Jesus Christ, what He's done for us and what He can do for them. Please help us even over these holidays, Lord, to take the opportunities that You give us, open doors to speak a word for our Lord Jesus Christ. Help us to be faithful with our duties, all our responsibilities. May You speak to us, Lord, direct our steps in Your perfect will. And we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.